It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Maggie is still on vacation. We'll be back tomorrow. Andrew Bogish is sitting in. Now, Maggie, I don't want to disclose her location, but she is in prime Big Ten territory. Probably stop in Camp Randall. I'm not really sure what her plans are. She's apparently on a lake somewhere. There was a drive through Cleveland. There was a lot of travel mishaps.
Cleveland was involved.
I don't know if it ever happened. She said something about renting a car in Cleveland and driving. I have no idea. We'll hear all about it tomorrow.
Yeah, because I know where she is, and Cleveland shouldn't be involved.
Well, you remember last week, the tech outage, travel was really hard. And you know what is one of the reasons I know all about the travel is because I follow all these college football writers. And apparently getting back and forth from various media days has been very, very difficult, including Big Ten, which is in Indianapolis. Just to set the scene real quick about what's happening there, I saw a picture. There's a giant Oregon duck floating on that really cool river in Indianapolis because the West is coming for the Big Ten. That's not the main reason I want to have our next guest, Dan Lyons from Athlon Sports. He put out a list of mascots that we'll get to in a second. But Dan, first, before we get into your mascot list, which is causing a lot of controversy here, I want to talk about Big Ten Media Day. Thanks for joining us. What is the mood having these former Pac-12 teams coming to the Big Ten? Is there a culture clash or is it all working out?
It's been interesting. It's certainly not something that you know, when you think Big Ten, you're not thinking like reporters from the LA Times or the Orange County Register. So that's been, you know, it's been a little bit of a preview. We'll have the two LA schools today in Indy, and then the two Pacific Northwest schools, I believe, are tomorrow on the final day. So yesterday was all pretty classic Big Ten. Ohio State, Wisconsin, I guess Rutgers is classic Big Ten at this point. Then we're going to get the West Coast schools. Yeah, truly.
I'm surprised Rutgers isn't invited.
But Rutgers is good this year. That's what
true. Rutgers is going to be pretty. Yeah, they're going to be pretty decent this year, I think.
Oh, that's annoying. Dan, I heard an argument. This is a bigger picture that some people think it's going to be one of the greatest college football seasons of all time because everyone's going to want to see Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. Everyone's going to want to see Oregon, Ohio State, that these actual, we complain about the conferences going away, but I'm sensing it too. It might be the video game as well coming out. There is buzz around college football. You were at SEC Media Day last week. You're Big Ten now. Does the sort of confluence of all these teams add to the excitement? Are you feeling that?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a rare buzz around the sport. The video game does play a big part. I think people who, you know, weren't in college in when the last video game came out may not understand just how big that was, especially drawing in a lot of, you know, more casual fans who do love, you know, their Madden and their NCAA footballs. But also, obviously, we're getting just crazy matchups with Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC, and then the four schools coming to the Big Ten. Even the Big 12 is a very deep league now after adding the four other Pac-12 schools. I do think that even though a lot of us are probably not thrilled about the loss of rivalries and the loss of tradition in a lot of ways, in the immediate term, there's certainly something to be said for, you know, we're going to get Texas and Oklahoma playing big games like every single week, and just the depth of these leagues now. So there's definitely a push-pull, but you do feel, you know, something different is in the air at these events.
Dan, Ohio State head coach Ryan Day was in a lot of crosshairs yesterday. What's the right level of critique of his program, like the recent results of his program in your mind?
It's really tough because, you know, how many coaches out there win 88% of their games? I think it might be he, and I think Dabo Swinney's up there too. By any standard, you know, he's done an absolutely incredible job. He's winning at a similar, if not higher, clip than Urban Meyer. But Urban never lost to Michigan, and Ryan's lost to Michigan three times. I actually think you can draw kind of a parallel between where Ohio State is this year and where Michigan was the last couple of years under Jim Harbaugh, where, you know, obviously a great program, winning a ton of games, but just can't quite get over the hurdle for those biggest, most important games. And when it comes to college football, like, Michigan and Ohio State is, for those schools, you know, about as important as winning a national title, especially if you're not winning those games consistently. So I think the pressure is fair, but I don't think the pressure is something that would exist at just about any other program. So it's really interesting because, you know, even other big rivalry games probably don't care quite as much as that when it comes to, like, oh, you're winning, you know, you're basically losing one game a year tops, but, you know, Michigan has become an issue. That is a call for concern. And you heard it from the Ohio State guys yesterday. Jack Sawyer, the defensive end, talked at length about how disappointing it was to not get his pair of gold pants at this point, which is the little token that Ohio State players get for beating Michigan when, you know, a couple of years ago under Urban, they never lost to Michigan. There was every single year, even close, blowout, whatever. So I definitely think that it is not just a thing of, like, fans being, you know, out of control with expectations. It exists within the program, too.
But there's so much talent there. The fact that Jack Sawyer is still in, like, guys we know on defense and JTT, I mean, this has got to be the year. Let me ask real quick where we stand on conference expansion. Feels like the SEC and the Big Ten both put the brakes a little bit, at least saying publicly, oh, we like where we're at. Is that the real vibe there? Or do you think that we are sort of heading towards a gigantic, an even bigger Big Ten and even bigger SEC very soon?
It's hard to know because these last couple rounds moved in such silence. Like, Texas, Oklahoma broke, I believe, the third day of SEC Media Days a couple of years ago in 2021. And Greg Sankey even joked about that when he was up, I think, on the third day of Media Days this year, where he was like, "Oh, we don't have any announcements coming. Don't worry." So I got the sense the SEC is probably in wait and see mode. I don't think that there's any real impetus for them to jump back into Florida or back into South Carolina with the two obvious schools, Florida State and Clemson, who are, you know, very clearly trying to get out of the ACC. The Big Ten is a little more interesting. They've been a little more trigger happy, I think, in doing some of these moves, and they don't have the footprint in the Southeast that I think that they would probably like to get, especially with a Florida State. You know, they've pretty clearly gone coast to coast at this point and aren't super worried about keeping that Midwestern identity so pure anyway. But at a certain point, you know, how unwieldy is a 20-team conference? Is it that much more unwieldy than an 18? I don't know. But I'd be a little surprised if we saw anything this year. It sounds like it's not expected that Clemson and Florida State are going to make any moves to out of the conference in time for next season out of the ACC. The Big 12 is obviously always an interesting variable just because their leadership is so, you know, gung-ho on disrupting the sport and whatnot. And there have been talks about the ACC schools potentially looking there, even though it's not a huge money jump for them. That would feel to me like kind of a, we just need to get out at all costs and this is the quickest option, which is probably not the wise move. So I kind of don't expect that we'll see a giant move like we have the last like three seasons in a row. But, you know, you can never count it out just because we're in such a wild era for this sport at this point.
Dan, how many Big Ten schools have a legitimate chance at the playoff in your mind?
I think there's quite a few. I think Ohio State, obviously, you know, probably needs to get there. You have some real questions about where things are going if this level of roster doesn't make it to a 12-team playoff. Oregon, I think, is not far behind, bringing in Dylan Gabriel, returning a lot of the players from last year's team, which only lost to Washington, was probably one of the most talented teams in the country. And then beyond that, I wouldn't count out Michigan. I don't think the offense will be quite as explosive, but the defense should be very good. you have questions about Sharon Moore, but he did an incredible job leading that team down the stretch last season during Harbaugh's suspension. Penn State as well, you know, not an unflawed team, but a very good defense, a veteran quarterback who, if they can find a way for him to make some more explosive plays through the air, they have a roster that, you know, has been on the precipice of what would have been a 12-team playoff a few times, and now they have that opportunity. And then there's a lot of unknown, but, you know, teams like Wisconsin and USC with Miller Moss, who had a really good bowl game. I think kind of the beauty of the 12 team is, like, with the 14 playoff, there weren't that many surprises in terms of, like, who was in the mix, because you have to have a talent at a certain threshold, a roster at a certain threshold of talent. Now, you know, you could have a really special season from a school that, you know, isn't a traditional power, and they go 10-2 in a power four league, and they're right in the mix. So I would say there's probably like five or six teams that have like a realistic shot.
Wow.
But, you know, guys, teams should always jump up. It's hard to know, especially, like, you know, I'm not going to pretend Rutgers to go to the college football playoff, but that team brings back a lot and they have a very easy schedule. So if they win 9 or 10 games, you know, you can't really write anyone out. Wow. When there's this much leeway. But I would say probably 4 or 5 feels like the right number, and realistically, 4 is probably the top.
Wow, that's a lot, because you have the SEC too. We're talking to senior college football writer at Athlon Sports, Dan Lyons. Okay, that's enough of the hard football talk. You published a list that caused some controversy here, Dan. The top 5 college football mascots. And some of them were no-brainers. Can I just read the list for people, and then you can defend it? Number 5, Brutus Buckeye, of course, big deal. Everyone knows Brutus. Number 4, already have a little issue, Cosmo the Cougar, BYU. Number 3, we have Ralphie the Buffalo, of course. You don't mess with Ralphie. And then number 2, the Stanford Tree. Mm-hmm. Okay. And number 1, the Oregon Duck. We're on in Oregon. The Oregon Duck is awesome. But let's start with the Stanford Tree. Andrew Bogus, I know you thought this was an interesting choice. Dan, defend the tree.
I love chaos when it comes to mascots. I think that's one of the special things about college football. You know, it's not all corporatized, even though it seems like it's going in that direction in a lot of ways. So you have a thing with Stanford Tree, which is not even an official mascot. It's the band's mascot. it recreates itself every year. It's been arrested at least once, maybe multiple times. It's gotten suspended, you know, every few years for something. I love just the very homemade style of it. The Stanford Tree, for those who don't know, the person who is basically chosen to be the tree designs their own costume. So some years you have like a pretty standard looking evergreen with a crazy face, and then some years they decide, oh, we're gonna be a palm tree this year with a giant tongue sticking out. A couple years ago, it was like very multicolored, so there were lots of teals and cardinals, and didn't look very green at all, and that was fine. So it's just an ever evolving concern. All of the tree mascots are held in a wing of the school library, and if the alumni come and want to take their mascot out and go hang out at a game, like, you might see 4 or 5 trees at a homecoming. it's so different from like every other mascot experience, I feel. And a lot of people just absolutely hate it, and I respect that. But I don't know. I think that there's something so unique and special about it, and just iconoclastic, honestly. And you get that with a lot of like the mascots that I included. The Oregon Duck is a little more, you know, standard mascot, but also, you know, might chug a box of Frosted Flakes on college game day. So I really enjoy mascots who aren't just doing like the normal mascot stuff and who might get in a little bit of trouble sometimes.
And Dan, I don't want any wrong information here. I have zero objections with the Stanford Tree being on your list here, because a mascot should be illogical in my mind. And you just laid out why this mascot makes no sense. It's disconnected from reality. Like, that, that's what I want. If I had to object, Cosmo the Cougar might be the one thing I would take off here, but that's nitpicking.
And I'll say my objection is, if you're going to put animals on there, you have Ralphie on there, where's Ugga? I feel like that was the biggest snub to me.
I love Ugga. I love all the dogs. I think that's not a particularly hot take. I mentioned afterwards, like, if I was going longer than 5, you know, put in Reveille, put in Smokey. I think the dogs that are just hanging out on the sidelines having a great time, just an all stay for me. It was tough. I think Ralphie I put in as the live mascot representative just because that entrance is so iconic and so just incredible. Before Coach Prime was in Colorado, if you ask anyone to name one thing about that program, especially during the, you know, 10 to 15 years where they were not winning very many games, it was probably Ralphie coming out. That's just an electric entrance, as good as any in the sport. So that was kind of my impetus putting them. Cosmo, I think, is probably the sleeper here because it's from a lesser known program. They're Big 12 now, and BYU has legions of fans. But Cosmo is probably the most athletic mascot in college sports. He jumps through rings of fire. He's gone skydiving. He is just like kind of, you know, if they were doing NIL for mascots, I think it would probably be pretty inappropriate in Provo, but like Red Bull would be all over Cosmo.
Red Bull at BYU, they're famously don't do caffeine, dude. You can't have Red Bull.
I'm sure they probably don't have caffeine free Red Bull, but
what would be the point?
If you really like that Red Bull flavor, Cosmo is wild. Go check out some YouTube clips. That Cougar is doing some crazy stuff, getting vaulted from beyond the 3-point line of basketball games to dunk, just like about as athletic as any mascot you'll find out there.
Okay, senior college football writer Dan Lyons, Athlon Sports. Last question for me. Well, who do you think is the most dangerous mascot, and including live animals? Because I have a choice. I'm curious who jumps to mind for you.
First thing that comes to mind is it has to be Bevo after that bowl game incident with Ugga a couple years ago where I think a photographer got injured and Ugga almost got sent to the doghouse in the sky. I wouldn't want to mess with Bevo.
Yeah, Bevo's horns are crazy. That jumped on. But I think Auburn's War Eagle is insane. Because that thing is flying around the stadium for real. I thought it was some sort of like video show or something.
CGI?
All of a sudden, a bird is 2 feet over my head, a bird of prey. So I think the War Eagle is pretty dangerous as well, Dan. I think you're underestimating that.
I think it's a fair choice. Obviously, Mike the Tiger as well. He doesn't make his way to the stadium anymore. But they used to parade a live tiger around Tiger Stadium before night games when everyone at LSU has been tailgating for 4 days. So, I'm happy that there were no incidents, at least in the recent years with Mike. Probably the right call not to have him come to the stadium anymore, but, pretty illustrative of what college football is when it comes to mascots. It's kind of like there are rules, but sometimes you question whether there are actually rules.
Dan, we'll let you go. Real quick, who's a big speaker today at the Big Ten Media Days? Who should we look out for?
I think Lincoln Riley will be interesting. I'll double check. I think that the LA teams are both today. Not unlike Ryan Day, lots of wins, lots of success, but hasn't gotten to the mountaintop. And entering the Big Ten, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on USC to prove that, you know, not only can they get back to winning double-digit games every year, but now a much more daunting schedule, and then coming to the Midwest, coming to the East Coast occasionally. So I think he's going to have some really interesting questions to answer today.
Awesome. Dan Lyons, Athlon Sports, appreciate the time. Have fun the rest of the Big Ten.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, I'm sold on the Stanford tree. I actually wasn't aware of that tradition. I'm actually going to be at Stanford in a couple of weeks.
Whoa.
Yes, my in-laws live out there.
Oh, that's right. This is vacation, not work, right?
Not work. I mean, there's really not much football-wise to report there. There's no Harbaugh. Who's that?
There's no Andrew Luck wandering on the campus.
Toby Gerhardt, remember him?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Stanford will have some good offensive linemen. It's a really beautiful campus. I got to find the tree now. This is my new mission. That's a lot of fun. Coming up, we're going to continue the college football talk. We have a special college football great debate. Our weekly great debate has to do with stadiums. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's next right here. Maggie and Perloff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Porch rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Show.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, every Wednesday we do the Great Debate here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie's out today, but we will continue. Andrew Bogish is sitting in. So we just did a segment where we're debating the top five college football mascots. We figured we'd keep the theme going, and we are going to do the best college football stadium. Now, listen. We talked about this. EA Sports had their college football home field advantage rankings, and Texas A&M came in number one. That was kind of a weird choice in a lot of people's eyes, but we have a different criteria. We're just doing the best, not which gives the team the best advantage, what's the best combination of atmosphere, coolness, and that doesn't mean we've even been to these stadiums. You get a sense on TV. So we're going to go around the room. Now, here's the rules for the Great Debate. You have to pick one that someone else didn't pick. So I want to go around. We're going to get Pat Boyle in here. I want to go last because...
You want to go last?
I want to go last because there's less pressure going last. Why don't we start with you, Andrew Bogish? How are you going to start us off? Great debate. Best college football stadium in the land.
So I wanted to make my choice based on a place I've been to.
Okay.
And most of the colleges that I've been to have been on the old 1AA, current FCS level.
That's cool.
So, like, you know, Harvard and Yale playing historic places.
Yep.
Franklin Field in Pennsylvania and Philly is a nice place to go. Jack Coffey Field at Fordham, my beloved alma mater, doesn't really cut it in terms of atmosphere. But I have been to Mikey Stadium in West Point, so I'm going America. I'm going an Army game. The stadium in and of itself is a stadium. It's not, but it is located in a beautiful part of New York State. And then all the pomp and circumstance of Army football. And also, oddly for me, I was there rooting for the opposing team, so I felt like you rooting for Canada men's basketball, rooting against Army and against the country, but it is a bucket list place to go. It is easily, with all due respect to Navy and Air Force, if you're going to one service academy game, you've got to go to an Army game at Mikey Stadium.
Okay, I love it. All right, let's go to you, Big Zoo. What's your favorite college football stadium, or what is the best college football stadium?
Oh, my favorite and the best is Milan Puskar Stadium down there in Old Morgantown, West Virginia. Let me tell you something. Now, when you have a stadium that is built for college football that also has a parking lot that doubles up, and on the other side of that parking lot is a hospital, you know, prepared for all of the drunkards that are coming home from the Morgantown.
The triage unit.
Yeah. Oh, baby. You know you're set for a good time. And let me tell you, every single game that I went there, it was always fun. The atmosphere is incredible. Now they've done renovations on the stadium after I left, and they, you know, took all of my money. They fixed everything up for the new kids, but...
Who have since burned it down several times over.
Hey, you know what? When they're hosting a college football playoff game in December this year, it's going to be all the rave when everyone sings Country Roads, baby, because that...
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I don't know how you sit on the couch when it's on fire, but question two, who was the quarterback when you were there?
So we had a lot. We had Paul Millard. We had Will Greer. We had Skylar Howard. We had a bevy.
Oh, you miss not the Pat White era, not going back that far.
No, I was, so my freshman year was the year after Geno Smith and everybody left.
Oh, you
left.
Missed Geno. Oh, that
Quinn
was
Trickett
a team.
Also was a quarterback of mine.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, Pat Boyle, noted Notre Dame fan. Curious where you were going. The best college football stadium.
Yeah, I could throw out Notre Dame, but in light of not being biased and being honest, I don't know how Tiger Stadium, Death Valley, LSU doesn't get a mention here.
Yeah.
I mean, it is... let me just, first of all, 102,000 321 official capacity. Fifth largest stadium in college football, seventh largest stadium in the world. And let me just read you some of the quotes here, by the way, from some of the all-time greats. You had Bear Bryant once remarked that Baton Rouge happens to be the worst place in the world for a visiting team. It's like being inside a drum. You've also had, where is it, former Indiana coach Terry Hoppner said, that's as exciting an environment as you can have. We had communication problems we haven't had at Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah,
so it's Saturday night, Death Valley, LSU, Baton Rouge. I mean, they barely sell alcohol near the student section. That's how dangerous it is.
Oh, man. Yeah, Zoo, I got to be honest. I think LSU could give West Virginia a run. I know West Virginia is, like, not allowed to be on the greatest party school list because it's such a party school. But LSU on a Saturday night, I have unfortunately not been. I heard it's just the wildest thing ever.
I mean, they're banning, though, the drinking from the student section. West Virginia is promoting it, you know, so let's just talk about environments.
Well, what
right
does
there.
That say, though? They're promoting it because obviously your West Virginia fans aren't rowdy enough.
They got nothing else in their lives but West Virginia football and Walmart.
Okay.
That's what West Virginia does.
All right, that leaves me. I'm going bigger than all of you.
Wait, does it leave you? You wanted to go last. Have you gone to EJ yet?
Hello.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. But EJ's EJ's a Miami Hurricanes fan. So
Hard Rock Stadium doesn't count.
Yeah, yeah. And the Orange Bowl, I think.
Hard Rock is not being mentioned here, guys.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Orange Bowl, I think there's just more like dead bodies than actual fans there. That place is so dangerous. I ever tell you when I almost got died by lightning strike on that metal can of the Orange Bowl? Anyway, EJ, what do you got?
Okay, so I think the one that's obviously missing is what we now call the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl. There's everything that is perfect about it. It is a national historic landmark, which I don't think any other stadiums are. And you have the perfect setting. You got the California sun, you got the sunset in the background, you got the mountains in the background. It is just perfect. Now, it's unfortunate what's happened to UCLA football that has not made this the home field advantage it should be. But if we're going just stadiums and stadium atmosphere and aura, there is no greater aura when it comes to college football stadiums than going down to Pasadena, California and heading to the Rose Bowl. That is an easy pick for me.
You see the light the day, New Year's Day, seeing that light come in around 5 Eastern time, there's nothing prettier than the Rose Bowl.
It is legit a top 5 bucket list sports thing for me to do.
I have actually not been to the Rose Bowl. I've been to the Coliseum several times. Put that at the bottom of your bucket list. That is a mess. Okay, a lot of history there, too. As I mentioned, I'm going big. I'm going with the big house. So we haven't really done one of the Big Ten powers. We have gigantic Ohio State, gigantic Penn State, but the biggest of them all in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I wanted to have a Big Ten school. I think Michigan is better than the Horseshoe. I think it's better than Penn State, although the whiteout is crazy. Just something about there is special, and there's so many people, and they are drunk there, too. I know Michigan's a very good school, but they definitely party, and I feel like something about that, too, it is a real home. You just feel the history there a little more so. I believe it or not, I found Ohio State disappointing as a fan experience.
Really?
I don't know what it was. I've been there 3 times, and every time it was kind of gray out. The big house, for my experience, was a little more special. I give it the slight edge. I'm going with Michigan. So let's recap. Andrew Bogus, you have Army.
Mm-hmm.
Big Zoo, you have West Virginia. Pat Boyle went with LSU, Death Valley, and EJ went with the Rose Bowl. I love the Rose Bowl, but it's the bowl game itself. UCLA football, not exactly these days.
Yeah, but EJ still wins.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Sunsetting, like you said, that there is nothing prettier. The painted sideline.
That's one game.
Colors.
That's one game.
I don't care.
All right, well, EJ, you got to put up a poll. And you could call in, of course, with your favorite college football stadium, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Is there any big snubs here that jump to mind? And I'm thinking of a certain school. Pat Boyle is here. He's wearing Notre Dame green. How come you didn't go in Notre Dame? Well, I've heard mixed reviews of the actual fan experience there.
Yeah, so I've been to Notre Dame Stadium once, and they were playing USC, and it was a night game, so I'm thinking huge atmosphere, tailgate, and this is about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, so I was like 25, 26, not too far removed from college, and I'm hoping for a tailgate where I'm like getting lost in a sea of bodies. And I went with my friend and his girlfriend. His girlfriend played field hockey at Notre Dame. So she, you know, like all of her former teammates and friends there. I'm expecting a gigantic tailgate. We were, I don't know, like a couple hundred feet outside the stadium. Not that impressive, if I'm being honest. Now, the atmosphere inside the stadium was great. It was loud. It wasn't deafening. They beat USC pretty handily. That was the Keaton Slovis year. But I was expecting madness, utter chaos. Yeah. I literally put myself through a table and like I got like a small round of applause.
Yeah,
like,
it's a little civilized.
It was too civilized.
Obviously a special place. Kelly Jerome in the chat, Infinity Sports Radio YouTube channel, says Clemson, Death Valley. Been there. That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, Clemson's out in the middle of nowhere. The opening scene where they run past the rock, that is all time.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with Clemson. Tennessee and Alabama, by the way, if their fans are listening, I think those are quite popular stadiums as well.
Certainly Tennessee, an honorable mention to one of our favorite spots in this country for our network in Boise, Idaho.
Oh,
because the blue turf and the mountains.
Bucket list.
It's beautiful.
Yes, bucket list. I've been to BYU in Utah. When you have a college football game and you're looking out on the mountains in the fall, there is nothing more beautiful. All right. Weigh in. Favorite college football stadium, 855-212-4227. Pat Boyle, is there time for some sports updates?
Yes, sir. Getting to some of the final baseball highlights that we haven't hit on yet. Two teams floundering around in the AL wildcard race and at the bottom of the AL East. Rays and Blue Jays opened a three-game set last night. The big swing came in the top of the fifth.
And now Brandon Lau, who pinned Varsho up against the wall his first time. For now, there's one that'll go over the wall. Deep to right and on its way. Gone. Home run. Wow. Brandon Lau.
Wow.
Nobody could jump up and get that one. And the Rays lead is 3-0 in Toronto.
Rays radio, Brandon Lau's two-run bomb was the decisive swing. Rays beat the Blue Jays 4-2. What a disappointing season it's been for Toronto. They're now 45-55. 10 games under. See if Vladdy gets...
Yeah.
You think they trade Vladdy, Bogish?
It was interesting that he backed off this summer of his I'll never play for the Yankees comment, which certainly seems to lead me to like that something's going on there.
Mm.
And I mean, they're going in the wrong direction with what they thought was a really significant nucleus. They might need to make a trade, and I'd rather keep Bo Bichette than Vladdy.
I agree.
Really? Wow.
Oof.
That seems a bit hot to me.
His power numbers have significantly decreased year by year. He's actually more of a contact hitter now. But again, he's huge. Massive dude, and he's Vlad Guerrero's kid. So you would expect the power to be there. But like for his power numbers, his home run numbers have dropped so far. Again, his batting average, I think last time I checked, was like .290. So he's hitting at a high average. But, I mean, what does he give you if he's only hitting...
Right.
I mean, if he finishes with like 22 home runs this year, like that'll be good for him. I mean, this guy hit what 45 a couple years ago,
and the body scares me. Like, at any minute he could, and a knee could go. We could all of a sudden have 25 extra pounds that we don't need. Like, that scares me too.
He needs to be in a deep...
We saw that with Prince Fielder too.
Yeah,
where the body fell apart towards the end with him,
and he's due for a contract extension next year. So, right. Are you going to pay him with the likes of Bryce Harper, close to $28-30 million a year?
Nah,
someone might.
Someone will.
Yeah,
Blue Jays don't need to do it.
I saw on the show that Vlad Jr. is like my favorite player in Major League Baseball. If they break up the Bo Bichette, Vlad Guerrero tandem, that would be maybe one of the most disappointing young core to be broken up in baseball in a while to me. Like, this team looked like they were destined to be a contender.
Yep.
Yeah, and instead they stink. A couple of San Diego All-Stars went back-to-back in a belly-to-belly. Luis Arias and Jurickson Profar with back-to-back dingers. Padres shut out the Nats 4-0. And in Cleveland, Jose Ramirez hit a go-ahead solo shot in the fifth. Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase locked down his 30th save. Cleveland beats the Tigers 5-4. They are now at 60 wins. NFL training camp news. All 32 teams will have started training camp now by the end of the day. We've hit on it throughout the show, but again, the biggest headline, Cowboys superstar receiver CeeDee Lamb holding out of training camp, not expected to report today with the rest of the team. Lamb has been looking for a contract extension all offseason that will pay him similar to Justin Jefferson, who got his new deal last month for 4 years and $140 million with $110 mil guaranteed. Lamb heading into the final year of his deal, which includes $18 million. Just for some context, I know it's a totally different position, but remember last year, Zach Martin, one of the best guards in the history of the sport, held out of training camp for 3 weeks, and he was fined, you know, accumulated fines of basically $1 million before he got his deal reworked.
Yeah, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is going to get paid to the point where $1 million is not going to matter. It's not just CeeDee Lamb, though. It's that there's no new deal for Dak. There's no new deal for Micah Parsons. And as we've been talking about, Mike McCarthy could be on his way out. Feels like it's getting a little crazy there, I admit. I still think they're a playoff team. Andrew Bogusch does not. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, and at the end of the day, it's still going to be Jerry Jones. So even if they're trying to be smart here by having all of these staring contests and maybe hitting the reset button for this year, do you trust those same guys to pick the new batch of Cowboys for next season?
I would, only because we saw them move on from the Tony Romo and Jason Witten era, and we have this iteration of the Cowboys, and like they keep falling in the playoffs, but they've built a good team. They just haven't built teams that have been champions.
Yeah, but that's the point. I mean, they cannot build a team that can win a championship, it appears.
That's
true.
They
don't want to rebuild a new team that does the same thing that these Dak teams do.
No, but I'm just saying, like, we've seen them have an era of older players. This is not an era of old players, but we've seen them have a talented group, have to tear down, and build it back up to a talented group. Now, finding the mixture to get them over the hump, something they haven't been able to do. But in terms of rebuilding, I would trust the Cowboys, perhaps, to be honest, because they've shown they could do it.
49ers star receiver Brandon Ayuk has reported for training camp despite an official trade request last week, but it's left to be seen whether he could be a hold-in, a.k.a. whether he will practice with the team at camp or not. 49ers front office has stated they will not move Brandon Ayuk, but then yesterday GM John Lynch, maybe a little change of the tune here in terms of whether or not Ayuk could be traded before the season starts.
No absolutes there. We fully intend on Brandon being a Niner moving forward. We're always open to listen to things. But like I said, we expect Brandon to be an integral part of our team like he has been, and excited about that.
So now it's no absolutes.
Oh, boy. Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
I
think he actually stays there. I don't think anyone's given up what the Niners want to get him. He's going to stay there, and they're going to be awesome. I think it's an all-in year in San Francisco.
I agree. Finally, the Vikings gave their star left tackle, Christian Darrisaw, a big bag. Four-year deal worth up to $113 million, $77 million guaranteed. Darrisaw had 2 years remaining on his rookie deal. He's now signed through 2029. And real quick, golf news. While Tiger Woods is fading into the mist rapidly, we're awaiting the official arrival of his son, Charlie. It looks like we, you know, might be waiting at least a few more years. He shot a 10 over 80 yesterday at the U.S. Open Junior Amateur, so he missed the cut at 22 over.
Just like his dad.
Oh, that's not nice. Wow. That's not nice. That's a shot. That's a shot, Pete Pilotti.
It is.
All right.
I saw a picture of him crying, which kind of felt bad for him. I guess Tiger was there, and he wasn't wearing a sleeve on his leg, which was news. But
yeah, and that leg did not look good, dude.
No.
He'll be fine. Nothing to see here. It all looks good. All right. Thank you, Pat Boyle. We see you on the phone lines, 855-212-4227. What is the greatest college football stadium in the land? We want to hear from you. Next, Maggie Perloff. Best college football stadium in the land, the Great Debate Wednesday. I went with the Big House, Michigan. Andrew Bogusch went with Army. Big Zoo went West Virginia. Pat Boyle went with LSU. And EJ Stewart went with the Rose Bowl. You can weigh in. Again, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Wes in Baltimore, who I think has a stadium that we mentioned and we all love. Wes, what do you got?
I got Boise State. I'm in Boise.
Oh, okay. Sorry. It said you were in Baltimore. Either way, tell us a little bit about the experience there. I mean, we all know the color of the field.
There's nothing like tailgating in Boise.
I want to go.
Like it. And then the game. Oh, my goodness. Rabid fans. because it's really, it's our pro sport is Boise State Bronco football. And everybody turns out. And if they don't turn out, they got the radios going at the lake, parties everywhere.
Oh, sounds like heaven. Bogus, you've been to Boise. What have you been for a game?
Yeah, we went 3 Septembers ago now. Boise State, Oklahoma State. Could not have had better people, better hospitality. Mm. We got driven into the game on the top deck of a party bus.
Oh,
the food in the lot was great, and then a night game there, so it was a sunset in the mount. It was just, it's perfect. And then the blue turf, yeah, which is like, that's what you go for, but the rest of it is just as unique and just as beautiful.
Yeah. By the way, Wes, you're in Boise, not Baltimore. I was going to ask you about, yep, the Ravens and why is Lamar keep missing practice, but I guess you have no insight on that.
No insight. I'm a Seahawk fan.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you, Wes. You can weigh in, of course, with your favorite college football stadium, 855-212-4227. The chat, Infinity Sports Network YouTube page. A lot of people bring up Penn State. They're claiming, I am interacting with the chat now, that I'm a fake, that it's not really me in the chat. You can see on my screen, Andrew Bogus,
yeah,
I'm really saying things here. It is the real me. You got the real Andrew Perloff in the chat. They do say, Maggie, of course, talks more about the chat. Now, I'm more of a sort of a creeper on the chat where I just read what people are saying because it's too often negative about me. I mean, let's face it, the chat gets a little mean.
Yeah, that's why I'm not in it.
Yes, they're very, very smart. They're more clever than we are. They're very, very funny.
That's the other part of it, too. I don't want to be made fun of directly or feel inferior by better jokes or takes or thoughts.
Yeah, here's a comment on you from Christian Martin.
Oh, good.
Bogus sounds exactly the way he looks. LOL.
Is that good or bad? I don't know.
I don't know. It's accurate, actually.
Do you want to hear what this dummy did yesterday, by the way? So I leave here.
Yeah.
And I get to Penn Station to get on my train here in Manhattan. And I'm thirsty. So I walk into a Duane Reade drugstore that's in Penn Station to get a drink. And I'm making a choice. Like, I'm at the window of the cooler section a good 90 seconds. Do I want this? Do I want that? I make a choice. I open up the door. I grab like a bottle of vitamin water, and it's warm. I go, it must be new. Let me grab something else. That one's warm too. Okay, I'm not using this cooler. Maybe this cooler's dead. Walk one to my right, open up that door, grab a bottle of seltzer. That's warm too. So now there's a full-on problem. As I turn, there's a woman, an employee, walking towards me, and I go, ma'am, I'm sorry. Just want to let you know the coolers are down. And without breaking a stride, she goes, yeah, that's why those signs are up. And I turn back, and there's got to be 6 glass cooler cases, and in the middle of all of them, it says, yeah, sorry for the inconvenience, refrigeration out of order temporarily.
Oh.
I looked at 7 different drinks, and I didn't see the sign once. What is wrong with me?
Yeah, I don't know. I think
I'm scanning up and down. Do I, yeah, want a vitamin water? Do I want a Powerade? Do I want water? A seltzer? Ooh, maybe a Coke Zero. I'm looking at all. I looked at every multiple coolers, multiple signs, didn't see it, tried to be helpful, instead was told, you're an idiot.
Well, I know what's wrong with you.
What?
You wake up too early, and you're coaching and driving to too much baseball and softball.
And I'm just completely mindlessly numb most of the time?
Yeah. I don't know how to say that in a nice way. Yes.
Yeah. No, I'll take it.
And I'm the same way. Pipilotti is the same way.
Yes.
Zoo, I don't really know what you do in your free time.
Well, I don't have kids, and I'm not married, so I enjoy my free time.
I sent a lot of video games.
He enjoys that free time. Bogus, a lot of video games, a lot of Nick at Night, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of Golden Girls at night, if you know what I mean.
Andrew Bogus, your son Jake had a game yesterday. We haven't had a baseball update in a while.
Yeah, Jake played again last night.
Yeah.
The boys did not win.
Shocker.
But they played well. They just lost to a better team, which is another, mm-hmm, like, which was the post game message of like, it's okay. You guys are, it's all right to be bummed that you lost, but like, you just lost because a baseball game happened,
right?
And the other team was better. They hit doubles. We hit singles. They caught a ball in the outfield. We didn't catch a ball in the outfield. Like, their pitcher threw a little bit harder, so he struck out a few more batters. Like, it just was a game. It wasn't a referendum on them as 10-year-olds or, right, players or anything like that.
I have a question, and you were filling in as coach. Why with your son's Little League, is there so much emotional turmoil? It feels like you don't just give the results. You're always just like, we had to talk this kid off the ledge, and everyone was crying. And there's just a lot of emotion around
this
team.
Coach off the ledge.
This is a loaded question, and we only have about a minute to go before the break hits. So I will give you the long story short here is we take things a little too seriously on the adult side of the equation, and I think it's bleeding in onto the kids here to a certain extent. And I, for one, would like to suggest like a reorganization of the mental approach of things, but I don't know how much support I have just yet. But like everything seems to be like worst case scenario. And I'm like, guys, they're 10. They're going to miss a ground ball. They're going to misplay a fly ball. They're going to strike out. But then the parents are complaining about the umpire, too, or we're telling the kids you can't complain about the umpires. It's just, it's a lot.
I have, of course, seen Jake's team. Just one suggestion. Maybe focus less on the emotional side and more on when the center fielder calls for the ball. The left fielder should not run into said center fielder. It seems like a consistent problem.
The to-do list is long. We've got a big offseason coming up soon. Yeah. Our last game is probably sometime next week, depending on if we can find our stride in the postseason. But otherwise, once we get past Labor Day, we're looking towards next season, and there's a lot of stuff to work on.
Now, I only played to a certain level. Another sort of X's and O's thing. Maybe when the ball is coming to you, open your eyes instead of closing them and hoping it goes to the glove.
Oh, see, eyes open, gloves close. That's the new thing.
Oh, man, I love it.
We see it go past us.
All right. More debate. Greatest college football stadium of all time. You can weigh in. Also, we're going to go a little against the grain with one of your favorite quarterbacks, of course, Aaron Rodgers. Next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.